Well, welcome everyone to the Fisherman Ministry 2014 Ministers Conference. We're about ready to praise the Lord and worship Him, so let loose and sing a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you open our ears and you open our hearts to receive thy word. Lord, that we may come more perfectly unto your will and that we may receive that which you have for us, that we may walk boldly in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Spirit of God.
let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice, let the people be glad that our God reigns. Goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord. But people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns.
Well, I can say, you know, it's a privilege to be up here. It's also always something that's a little frightening, you know, because it's like 10 minutes before the service. Oh, by the way, you're preaching. No, okay. But you have to be in season and out of season. I'd like to go to John 13, 31. Now, one of the things that I would say, one of the things that led up to this conference, and one of the messages that we kept on hearing before the conference, was about love. And about what it means to love. And one of my more favorite passages is what I'm about ready to read. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." This is, as I said, this is one of my favorite passages. Because when you look at what Jesus did, everything that Jesus did, everything that he ever taught was about love. Now, when I look at myself, I look at the world, one thing that the world has out there is the world has a lot of types of love. You know, they have a lot of love out there, and that love that you see out in the world is not really love. Now, it may be like, or maybe, you know, called agape love, but it's not agape love. And I know the one thing that the Lord showed me on this was that I could not learn to love agape until I received him into my heart. Because I did not know what agape love was until he put it in me, which was a gift from him. And even though my walk on this earth, I may have not known agape love until I had received it from him, I had been the recipient of agape love by other Christians. And I know as we go out, and you know, we talked about, was it 2 Timothy, right? In latter days, perilous times shall come. You know, it talks about these people out here deceiving the churches. One of the characteristics of those who deceive the churches is that they have love for themselves and themselves only. But Jesus says in here, he says, they'll know you're my disciples, your love one for another. You know, the world out here doesn't know what agape love is. You know, only those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior knows what it means to agape love. You know, our mission is to go out there to the people, to the highways and to the byways, and to those out in the world who are hurting, to bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is love. You know, that he paid the price for us so that we may live. You know, I know in my experience is why agape love in the end is joyful. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's a little difficult to agape love. Sometimes it hurts to agape love. But the end of all that is joy. And the only joy that you can ever have, the joy comes from that agape love. I mean, you look at Jesus when he was on the cross. I guarantee you it wasn't probably very pleasant. But in the end, he set his eyes to what the mark was. His love for us was so great that he was willing to sacrifice himself or to be offered up as a sacrifice for us. And he showed pure agape love. You know, I know that one of the things that we deal with is it says, you know, we talks about laying down our lives for another. You know, I always read that saying, oh, okay, you know, you're about ready to be executed or someone's going to be executed. You hop up in front and go, I'll take his place. I later realized that that's not what that means. You know, to lay down your life for your fellow man is to put his life before yours. To put others' lives before your own. That's what Jesus did. He put down his life for us. And I know that one thing that the Lord has been dealing with me on this whole thing is, what does that actually mean? I know for myself, I'm a pretty selfish something or other, and it's not pretty to see. It really isn't. But if I'm to go preach that gospel, the only way that I'm ever going to preach that gospel is if I'm willing to lay down my life for the sake of the person in front of me. If I'm willing to lay down my life for everyone in this room and for those out in the highways and the byways. You know, we have a hurting and cruel world out there. And we see the results of that by the vices that people go into, you know, the drugs, the sexuality things, and all these things, they're looking for something because they know something's missing. We have to be willing to go forth and bring forth that agape love, because even though it says that you have love one for another, that love doesn't stop at us. That love never stops for all mankind. And I know that for myself, I would say I love myself more than I should. Let us learn what it means to do that love. You know, at the point that we can really learn that agape love and we can bring it forth to others, then at that point the Lord can move mightily through you. Because the gifts and the knowledge and the wisdom and all the good things of God at that point won't be for yourself to hoard. It'll be for you to give out to others. Because God's not going to give you a gift. God's not going to teach you anything unless you learn to give that to others. The gifts are not for us. When I say us, me, myself, the gifts are to give to others, to show people the love of the Lord, to show what Jesus Christ is about. You know, a lot of people look at the Lord and they look at the Old Testament and the judgments and all that stuff, and they make the assumption that, first of all, that was done out of hatred. Okay? God had to show us judgment. God had to show us black and white. And as Steve, I believe, said, you know, unfortunately, the world believes in infinite shades of gray. There is no infinite shades of gray. It is black or it is white. It is true or it is false. It is right or it's wrong. But that right and wrong can only be revealed by agape love. And the Lord, because he loved me, and he gave me the ability to agape love, I just have to allow it to grow in me and come forth out of me and overtake me, so that self-love, that selfish love, can be pushed out. And that's something we all have to do. As he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's what distinguishes the true disciples of Jesus Christ. Their love of God and their love one for another and their willingness to show that love to others.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Pretty simple, huh? Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that... You coming up here? Nope. Okay. Wanted to just look back at what Charlie was preaching on here briefly for a moment, in case you didn't notice. I mean, Charlie's on verse 31. I just want to look at that for a moment. It says, therefore, when he was gone out. You guys know who that was that went out? That was Judas that went out. So therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. This is his response to what he and nobody else seems to know is about ready to take place. Imagine that. Now, I want to just go down a little farther where he finished off with verse 35. Let's just go, because this sounds a lot more like some people I know. Let's look at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. See, and this is, when you think of these meetings we have, like we come out here to the conventions and the like, Peter sounds a whole lot more like us, doesn't he? Than the couple of verses before that. Now, one of the things is, Charlie hit on something that's, you know, very important. And that really amounts to the fact that, but by Jesus, we cannot love. And so I want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to begin at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I just want you to think of that a moment. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth. You know who that earthly family is? Us. And we carry the name Christian because we carry his name. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. When that day of Pentecost came over in Acts chapter 1, you see a different Peter than the one Jesus was talking to that day, don't you? When he said, I'll go with you to the death. I can't even go with you tonight. After saying it, is what happened with Peter. But when that Spirit of God hit him, now Peter went forth. And at that point, one of the elements that had happened before that Spirit of God hit Peter, and this happens with us too, is that the Lord, in his love for Peter, even after Peter had denied him thrice, the Lord appeared to Peter. Now, the Lord doesn't appear physically to each of us. Don't hear me wrong. I don't mean it that way. But has not the Lord over and over and over and over again appeared to us in the form of one of his ministers, appeared to us in the form of his miracles, his power, his grace, his mercy, to let us know that notwithstanding our screw-up, he still is there and he still loves us? See, and then when that Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost, then Peter was ready to go forth. Peter had come to that place where he knew it wasn't about him and what he could do, but it was about the Lord and what, rather, Jesus could do. And so over here, it goes on and it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. See, it's not about your glory. According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. In other words, he can do what you cannot do. See, that strengthening with might by his Spirit in the inner man is not a work that you do. It's a work that he does. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, Ephesians, if you remember, if you go back to the beginning of Ephesians, chapter 1 of Ephesians lays out all these things that God has given unto the apostles, right? talks about how you've been blessed with, the apostles have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, right? Goes through that. And then it turns, and I think it's verse 13, and it says, in whom ye also trusted after you believed, right? And now you see him praying. And this prayer is a powerful prayer. And it's what we've been talking about all this week, right? I mean, we're not that far into this week. But in the after meeting today, remember Brother Richard was talking about how God didn't bring us here to fail. He brought us here to succeed. Does this sound like a prayer of somebody who's hoping you fail? Or a prayer of somebody who wants to see you succeed? See, the Lord wants us to succeed. He wants us to know that love. He wants us to know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. To know that love of God which passeth understanding. He wants us to know it. Why? So we can go share the good news with other people. I mean, what is good news?
But that God loves me, and he loves you. And the success you see in me is there for you. And how can you testify of that with any authority or confidence unless you've experienced it yourself? You have to experience it yourself in order to testify it. Testify of it with authority. Otherwise, you're testifying of what you've seen rather than what you know. Now, I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 23.
And we may go back to Joshua 1. I'm not sure yet. Let me get to Joshua 23 and I'll figure the rest out as we go here. Hold your place in Joshua 23. I'm going to go to Joshua 1. Because without Joshua 1, the truth is, you're really not going to get Joshua 23 right. So Joshua chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 1. I know it's in this Bible. Here it is. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying... Now, most people miss that part about Joshua being Moses' minister. And I said yesterday when I was up here how minister and servant are synonyms. I mean, they mean the same thing. And Joshua ministered. He served Moses faithfully. And in his service to Moses faithfully, he came to know the love of God in truth. He came to know the ways of God. He came to know who the Lord is. Well, all the children of Israel and the people around them didn't know. They seemed to be alienated from that knowledge of who God was. What did you do? Bring us out here into the desert to die? I've heard that more than once here this week. And you know what? The children of Israel said the same thing. And God wasn't happy with them when they said it, was he? He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, mind you, Israel here that they're talking about them going in and taking the promised land. All right? To us, that inheritance that we read about in Ephesians chapter 1 is our promised land. It's the kingdom of God, not a kingdom on this earth. If you will, it's all of those gifts of the Spirit. It's that love. It's that joy. It's that peace. That is our inheritance. And it's the apostles who divide that inheritance unto you. If you can't receive from them, you're not going to get your inheritance. And so he goes on, every place, and this hits that dispensation issue we were talking about a couple Tuesday night men's Bible studies ago, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now watch, he now defines the limits of that. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now that's a pretty, now, you know, it's one thing to watch the Lord doing that with Moses. It's another thing to walk that out yourself when that's not been your experience in the same way. And that's what the Lord's telling him is, just like you observed with Moses, so I am with you. Now let's keep going. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So he defines the dimensions of what he's giving him. And then he tells them, look, nobody's going to be able to stand before you, but you better cleave to what I have said. You better cleave to what I have said. That thing better be at the forefront of your mind every single day of your life. And if you will keep that in the forefront of your mind and you will do according to it, then you are going to see everything I said come to pass. Now let's watch the people's response, because the people's response here was a little different. If you remember when Moses came to the children of Israel, I mean, he goes and they're all happy to see him first, and then he goes and talks to Pharaoh, and now they're all upset. Do you remember? Because Pharaoh all of a sudden didn't like them like he liked them before. And so they're whining and crying and over and over and over and over and over again, and they never broke out of that. Is that the end you want? To remain a whining and crying baby? Or do you want to walk forward in the power of the Lord and walk forward in that victory? Because it was this second generation that walked in that victory. So let's watch what was the key for them. Have not I commanded thee, this is verse 9, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Now this is important. See, they had an organized line of authority in Israel. They had officers. They had people who were over people. So he says to them, pass through the host. And we've learned the word host there means army, right? And we've learned that when it talks about the sons of God and he gave them power to become the sons of God, that means an angelic host, angels to take that place, and that's a place of being a mighty warrior in the Lord, a soldier. So he says unto them, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now Anne, Robin, the two of you have been here since 1976. I know the message that Brother Richard's been preaching of late, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm guessing the first time you ever heard 2 Timothy chapter 3 was about 38 years ago. About 38 years ago for you. And then I came to know the Lord like almost 24 years ago. And I remember that being one of the first things. It's probably the passage in Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first few verses, those two passages I probably heard more than any other passage in the Scripture. And it's always been about we are going to go, right? We're talking about the Joshua age, remember? We are going to go forward. It's not going to be one man. It's going to be an entire host, a body of believers that are going to go forth. It's been the promise for 38 years. Well, you know what? These people here, you know what had happened with them? They were the ones who were the ones that were Joseph and Sammy's age and JC's age and little Edmund's age and the like. They were the ones who were too little when the promise was given and their parents refused to go in. And they had heard this all their life. And now all of a sudden after 40 years in the desert, it's time to go in. Do you might think that that might be like you might have a little trepidation that, am I ready? Can I really do this? Is this really going to come to pass now? I mean, I know. I mean, I can tell you for the last 20 some odd years, as the more years pass, when it first was out, I was like, yee-haw, man, let's go. 24 years later, I'm like, my knees start shaking and I start thinking, oh my God, am I up for this? And the fact of the matter is, you're right, I'm up for it. Praise God, I'm up for it. This is what I've been waiting for the entire time. There's not a day or a month or a week or a year that's gone by over the last 24 years that have not been preparing me for this moment. Frankly, nor preparing you as well. He wants all of us to go. So let's watch this. So Joshua commands the officers, and he tells them to pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Charlie, you were talking about laying your life down for your brother. This is what he's holding them to, what they had said. These 2.5 tribes had received their inheritance on the other side of Jordan. And the condition was that when they were crossing over, they were going to go over and fight just like everybody else until the other, how many tribes does that leave? 9.5 tribes had received their inheritance as well. Now let's watch what happens. And they answered Joshua, saying, all. Do you see that word? Wait a second. Let's look at that one again. It's a small word. What is it? All? That can't really mean all, can it? I mean, when we're out here in the camp, I mean, Ann, you've been around, and, you know, things haven't been progressing quite as fast as Brother Richard might have liked. Is that true? And Bob in there, has it been going quite as quickly as Brother Richard wanted? And has it had anything to do with the fact that this little word all may sometimes be a problem? Just every once in a while, that word all become, you didn't really mean when he said that, do you? I mean, when he said, you know, go in and preach, okay, I'm a little scared, but I'll go preach. But when he said, go clean out the toilet, surely it doesn't mean when he says, go clean out the toilet. Or go build this thing this particular way like I told you. Scott, I mean, you know, right? He doesn't really mean it. He doesn't, does he? He doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean that, does he? Really? I mean, you guys actually know he means that when he says it? He actually means it? Amen. Well, it doesn't seem to reflect very well now, does it? I mean, that's not a very good testimony right now. See, we all say we want to go do this thing, right? We all say, we want to, we're there, yep, we'll follow you. So let's read this one again. I didn't get past all, I apologize. Let's see if I can finish this verse. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. All that thou commandest us. But some of the things you say just don't seem to make much sense, Joshua. I mean, this whole thing of like some guys taking an ark and standing in the water, does that really make a lot of sense? Or how about, okay, let's go get circumcised over here and it's going to hurt. He didn't mean that. I mean, didn't do our parents any good over on that side, right? Or how about, let's walk around this place and actually not say a word for 7 days? You went on a word fast, right? Hey, they went on a word fast. They went on a word fast. The children of Israel and the entire army. I mean, I've tried to go on the word fast, he said. I haven't made it more than, I mean, I don't know if I've made it an hour. Now, that's probably pretty easy for you guys to understand about me. But I haven't even made it an hour. They did it for 7 days. You think they were serious about this?
And didn't I work at my job, too?
What's that?
Didn't I work at my job, too?
So, it says, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. See, that's a commitment, folks. We talk about being one. How are we going to be one if we're not like this? And I don't care what everybody outside this building or who's not with us on the internet, who's joined with us in the spirit. I don't care what they say, because you know what they're going to say? What are you, an idiot? I mean, that's what they're going to say. I mean, just let's get it out front, up front. You know what I mean? Let's not kid around and think when we go tell people this, they're all going to go, boy, that sounds like a good idea, right? There isn't going to be anybody who's going to tell you it's a good idea. The only people who are going to tell you it's a good idea are some of those who are here. And I hope it becomes all of those who are here. So this nonsense of, well, you know, like Charlie, I mean, just go do this, will you? Go do the other thing. 23 years, it's the same answer, man. Let's see. Let's see if we can change this, right? I know you can hear. I know you can do. Just takes humbling ourselves, right? It's all it takes. So it says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go, according as we, now this is them in contrast to their parents, hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. So if you notice, one of the beauties of this passage, are we still there? Yeah, there we go. If you go back, God said to him in verses 5 and 6, he said to Joshua, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, right? That's what he said over there in verse 5. And he tells Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Better? Okay. Sorry about that. All right, so over here in verse 5, it says, this is God speaking to Joshua, and it says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Right? That's God speaking to Joshua, making him a promise. And what God puts on Joshua is, be strong and of a good courage. Over here, what did we just read? It says, as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. So you see, they're putting on the Lord the exact same thing that the Lord promised he would do for Joshua. Let's continue. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So what's the condition they're putting on Joshua? The same one God put on Joshua. Do you follow that? You see a perfect covenant coming together between the people and the Lord and the one whom the Lord has appointed. And the equivalent today of that he shall be put to death is you're separated. How can you take such a soldier into battle? Can you take a soldier who's not going to follow orders like that into battle? You can't. Person's going to see that people get killed. And what happens? On the very first battle, the children of Israel fight. Remember, they walk around Jericho and they do all of that stuff. They shout and the walls come tumbling down and they destroy all the people. And then they go up against this little town called Ai next. And they go up and they get their butts whooped and a bunch of Israelites die. Now, if you're Joshua, you can imagine. I mean, that's like, what is going on here? So he sends them up again and another bunch get killed. And he's like, Lord, what's going on here? And then the Lord showed him. He said, look, there's a trespass in Israel. Because God had told, what Joshua told him is to not take anything from Jericho. Not only were you to kill all the people, you're supposed to kill all the animals. You were to not take anything. And one man, I think his name was Achan or something like that, he took some of this stuff, some, I think, Babylonian garments and some other things. And because of that one man's disobedience, others in Israel died. So what happened? He got stoned. That's how serious this is, folks. If you're going to stand as a people before the Janies and Jambreses of this world, and the Lord's going to move to back you up, you got to stand right. You can't be standing in pride. You can't have your own agenda. You got to be standing, and your mind is set to do what the Lord would have you do. Now, if you can turn to 23 in Joshua, I want to show you something. We'll finish it up here. And we'll start from verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Again, you see a proper line of authority being established. Well, is established. And you see him working through that line of authority. If you weren't a witness to this conversation with Joshua, you were still going to be accountable to it because one of the officers was going to be telling you. And if you didn't hear them, that was your tough luck. So watch. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Now watch this next verse. Be ye therefore very courageous. So now Joshua has had to stand and be strong and of a good courage. What? So that the people could learn to stand and be strong and of a good courage themselves. Now watch. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Now, first of all, how are you going to turn not aside to the right hand or to the left from the law of Moses as it was written here for the children of Israel, unless you know it, unless you meditate on it day and night as the Lord had commanded Joshua to do over in chapter 1, that becomes your guide. What's that song? A lamp unto my feet and a light. How does that say? And a light unto my path. That's what the word is for you every day. And he goes on, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, watch this, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. See, we started off with the promise is God wants you to succeed. He wants you to succeed. Those who went with Joshua succeeded. No man was able to stand before them. Now, I want you to understand the thing. I don't know what it was like for you folks, But I know for me, when I came to the Lord, there would have been no way I would have ever come to the Lord, I don't think, but for the fact that there was one man who I could not stand before. All right? There was one man who walked this out, and as a consequence of that, I came to believe the Lord. And Scott, we were laughing, Melanie and I, earlier today about the fact that I'm no longer a curse word in your household. But the reason why I'd become a curse word in your household in part was twofold. One was because I stood, and therefore I stood and instructed you, and so therefore I was the bad guy because you were going the wrong way, according to your wife back then. But the fact of the matter is, when it really began to change is when you began to stand. See, that's when it changed, because then it became real. It was no longer about me. This man I married, well, not I married, but Mel married, this man that Mel had married was a changed man. And things were happening, like their children would get healed. Their children would get delivered. And the words he said, they came to pass, right? And so now I wasn't the bad guy anymore. Scott was. But over time, what happened is, and we saw the other thing today with the will, with the toothpick, remember, and the knife, and you take it like this, and you've got the toothpick, think of this blue microphone as our will, and the one going up and down, the red one being God's will. And when it's like this, it was easy to break, but when it goes like this, it cannot be broken. Well, that's what happened. And we've got a special treat in order tonight as a consequence of that, relating to Mel, who we're going to ordain tonight. Praise God. And see, that's what it's about, folks. He wants us to succeed. He wants, when we succeed and no man can stand before us, people start to come to know the Lord, because no man will be able to stand before you. You will have the answer. You will have the word of life. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall make manifest the love of God. And we're ordaining, and one of the reasons why we're ordaining tonight is because of that hope. If there was no hope that there would be others and that we could move forward in the Lord and that people would receive the Lord and go forward likewise, why would we waste our time? It's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. So, praise God. I'll pass it over here to Brother Davey.
Come on down. You might be used to doing the service thing, part of this. I'll pour the oil.
Okay. You'll pour the oil?
Yeah, let's get Ann up here and Scott and Robin, Charlie, you two. You all consider you're here. All right.
Praise God. So you want me to say something now, huh? Praise God. Well, Melanie, you've come a long way. It's been a beautiful thing to watch. And I know many others here have watched, as well as the Lord has made clear that he is with her. And we're here tonight to confirm that and to take of that anointing that the Lord has imparted unto Richard and to share it with you, that you may go forward in that ministry and take that place in his body that he has called you to. Amen. You ready to do that? Why don't you lift your hands on up there?
Lord, we just let this oil, representing your Holy Spirit, your unction, be poured upon her, that you ordain her a minister to your gospel, as we recognize all that you've done in her and her will to serve you. Let your anointing go forth on her and strengthen her daily, and let her joy be totally in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
in the morning too. Now your first job as an ordained minister is to bring Gail up here. Drag her up here if you have to. Gail asked for prayer earlier, so we're going to lay hands on her and pray. Amen.
Amen.
And you lead as the Lord leads. I get to pour the oil.
Lord, I ask that you come. I ask that you please, Lord, heal her. Take away whatever ailments, pain, discomfort, all that she has, Lord, just take it from her so that she can move forward and that your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. How you doing there, Gail? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer, folks. What about awesome God, huh? We could do awesome God.
Everybody join with me and raise your right hand or left hand or whatever hand. Lord, we just lift Brother Paul up in South Carolina. Though he's not here with us physically, he's here with us in the spirit, and we be there with him. We rebuke that COPD in the name of Jesus and command him to be healed now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Praise the Lord. Is that it? Well, praise the Lord. We will yet have an after meeting. So dessert is yet to be served over in the camp kitchen. And I'm talking about our spiritual dessert, which is getting together and talking about what we've learned tonight. So praise the Lord for you folks on the internet. We'll miss you, but look forward to seeing you. And for the rest of you, I'll see you over there in a few minutes. May the Lord bless you.